My topic today is the audit committee, which is a rather technical topic. I don't know, you know, how I can justify my choice of this topic in this conference. But this institution causes lots of confusion in Korea, and this is also related somewhat to a larger issue of transplant and convergence. Let me start with this picture. I don't use many pictures. This is about only a couple of pictures in my presentation. This picture attempts to illustrate a famous Chinese saying. A Chinese living in the north of Yangtze River got an orange tree in the south and planted it in the north. But he was disappointed to find that the tree produced a different fruit, you know, a kind of hardy orange, which is not as delicious as the real orange. Transplanting an institution may be more difficult than transplanting a tree. Today I'd like to talk about our experiences, Koreans' experience in transplanting an audit committee in Korea. Let me start with this corporate auditors. And I found that the other participants used a different term, statutory auditor. And I think it may be better. As you, many of you, most of you are well aware that this statutory auditor is a feature of the Japanese code. This is appointed at the general shareholder meeting to monitor the board, and the statutory auditor has the power over accounting as well as operational matters, but it has no power to appoint or dismiss directors or officers. And it has failed to play a significant role in corporate governance in Korea. But we had to introduce an audit committee suggested by foreign institutions such as IBRD and IMF after the financial crisis in 1997. I was on the committee to prepare provisions for this audit committee. And we had hard time because you know, not so many people were knowledgeable about the audit committee, not even the so-called experts in the accounting profession did not know enough about this institution. And so in introducing this audit committee, we have allow corporations to choose between the audit committee or and the statutory auditor. But the securities transaction law, which is applicable to listed firms, requires large listed firms to have an audit committee instead of statutory auditors. The audit committee was not very popular when we first introduced to Korea. And business community was very hostile, and legal commentators were almost all of them were opposed to this foreign institution. So the government had to make some compromises to accommodate this kind of complaint. So the result is that a mixture of corporate auditors and the U.S.-style audit committee. But it seems that the audit committee is relatively well received by the business community. The listed firms, as of 2004, the number of listed firms in the primary section of Korea Exchange is 666, and among these 666, 132 firms have adopted audit committee, and 74 of them were required to adopt. but 57 of them volunteered to choose the audit committee. And this number hasn't changed very much, but the number has increased a little bit. Why do these firms choose to adopt the audit committee? A graduate student of mine has sent a questionnaire to every corporation with an audit committee. Why did you adopt the audit committee? Well, the answer was that many of them replied that they adopted the audit committee because it is better than statutory auditors in terms of corporate governance. I'm rather suspicious of the truth of the response. Some skeptics suspect that this popularity of the audit committee is because managers find the audit committee less burdensome than the statutory auditors, because audit committee is composed of outside directors working a part time. I don't know whether this is true, because many of the statutory auditors are also working part time. So I don't know. I have to figure out why they choose to adopt this audit committee. But just reading the list of these companies, I couldn't find any clue. And corporate law professors seem still opposed to the audit committee. They argue that we should have strengthened the statutory auditors instead. And as you know, this is exactly what Japan has done until a few years ago. Grounds of criticism. I don't want to go into details, but self-audit. This means that the audit committee members are directors, so they participate in the decision-making in the boardroom. And afterwards, something went wrong, and they say, well, so we are going to review the decision made in the boardroom. It's a kind of self-audit. How can you be neutral? Yeah, this sounds. This may sound persuasive, but as a person who participated in the board, and I am on the board of two listed firms, not so many issues are actually discussed in the boardroom. The company, big companies, engaged in many transactions. Less than 1% of the transactions are discussed in the board. So, self-audit, maybe it applies to a little part of the corporate business, but still, the audit committee members can review, in theory, from a neutral, objective perspective. And too much work for part-time outside directors. Now, this sounds also very persuasive, but I think statutory auditors are not necessarily working full-time. I understand that a significant number of firms, statutory auditors are working part-time, even in Japan. So I think the question is whether or not we should have audit committee members working full-time, or statutory auditors working full-time. Now, how can we, whether or not we should expand the role of audit committee members or statutory auditors. And as I discussed in my paper, generally speaking, I think it may not be a good idea to have a full-timer on the audit committee. And I want to compare the audit committee with the corporate auditor in terms of effectiveness. Personally, I think the audit committee chair, as I am on the board of directors and also I am on the audit committee of two companies, I may not be neutral in making this remark, in making this judgment, but I was fortunate to serve as a statutory auditor about 10 years ago in a listed, big listed firm. So I don't think there is anyone who has experienced these two roles in his professional life. But in my experience, I think the audit committee is better because it is a collegial organ. I mean, by this I mean that when you make a decision, when you have to make a decision, of course you have a power as a statutory to make all these decisions, to call a, say, extraordinary shareholders meeting, or file a suit against the directors. You can do all this, but it is a very, very lonely decision. But if you belong to the audit committee, you have a fellow audit committee member. So if you get some, you know, support from this fellow audit committee members, it's much easier to make a bold decision. Then you may say that, well, then why don't you increase the number of statutory auditors? That's what the Japan did. But I think the audit committee members are better because they have power to, in theory, power to dismiss or appoint CEOs, which the statutory auditor does not have. And also, audit committee members as directors can participate in the board meeting. So if a decision is really, really bad, then you can always try to oppose in the board, which is, I think, better than the review afterwards. But the question is that, is it desirable as a matter of policy to require firms to adopt the audit committee in place of the corporate auditor? That's what we did for very large business firms. This is heavily criticized by the big business. It's difficult to tell, but maybe it's better for us to leave, companies to choose between the two competing systems as Japan does now. Korean audit committee has some unique features, and audit committee members are selected at the general shareholders meeting, not only as the directors, but also as the directors who is going to serve on the audit committee. And in shareholder resolution, the so-called 3% limit applies. This means that the if you own more than 3% of the shares, and if you are not allowed to vote the shares in excess of 3%, this is to limit the influence of the controlling shareholders in selecting audit committee members. And we do have a concept like financial expert, and the financial expert is defined as, it's composed of many elements, and if you work for the regulator, then you can count as a financial expert. So, especially in financial institutions, there are many, many people who work for the financial regulator now sit in the audit committee as a full-time audit committee member. And just like in Japan, the audit committee has the power to conduct a so-called operation audit. It's the review of the board decisions in operational matters. And also some firms have separate supporting the audit committee. And many colleagues of mine say that, argue that the audit committee has its own step. I don't know whether it is wise as a method for this. Maybe some of the committees need this kind of separate step, but I know of one instance where the audit committee hired its own staff, say very senior people. It's actually, as a matter of fact, it's very difficult to find competent people, but they managed to find someone. And as soon as he was hired, he was alienated from the rest of the corporation. So he was cut off from the other parts of the company. So frustrated, he left the firm after 1 year. So from then on, they don't have any separate step. So now, in most cases, the audit department people help the audit committee. So this audit department actually is subject to the control of the CEO, and at the same time is subject to the control of the audit committee. Some people say that, well, you know, if you are subject to the control of the CEO, then how can they be neutral? Of course they are non-neutral, but the audit committee can get some assistance from these people. As I told you, the audit committee in Korea is even stronger than the audit committee in the United States. And if this works better, then maybe I have to change this, the original slide to this. So we have imported hardy orange from the USA, and we now have orange to What should the audit committee do? I think it's very difficult. And this is the area where we Koreans feel most uncomfortable. We now have the audit committee, and sometimes the audit committee members, you know, get together, in audit committee members of other companies, we all get together. What should we do? Because we have lots of power. Power of the audit committee is extensive, covering almost every aspect of business operation. So in theory, we can say that, well, just bring us all these transaction documents. Before you enter into the transaction, you just submit these transaction documents to us so that we can review in advance. This is, of course, audit committee members cannot do this, but in theory it's possible. So the practice is not yet settled, so we have lots of problems. I have drawn a just kind of simple line to illustrate the difficulties we have. The line illustrates the level of activities of the audit committee. If you fall in zone A, if you fall short of minimum point, or if you exceed the maximum point, in theory you may be held liable. But the problem is that the medium points or best practice points, maximum points, are all unclear. But I think it will be very difficult in practice to hold the audit committee liable for excessive audit. You know, just, it's very difficult for someone liable for too much action. The problem with the audit committee has been truly selection. We have selected the audit committee members, but they don't do much. That's the problem we have. yeah, of course we have to encourage these people to work more, but the problem is that what if they work too much? I am a little bit concerned myself. I know of one audit committee member of a big corporation who comes to the office every day, and he gives an order to, you know, the executives, so that his executives have hard time, you know, accommodating his request. Likelihood of too much action. Some audit committee member may be too risk-averse, so to avoid liability, you know, they just tend to act more. Or some people are very, very enthusiastic, so they just want to be very active. And some of the members are just retired people with nothing else to do, so they just come to ask questions and things like that. And also some director may be interested in expanding his or her own influence. And some directors may be just ignorant of the role they are supposed to play. There is some sign, as I told you, that there are some audit committee members come, you know, just to office every day, and some of them are full-time audit committee members, and so they review these transaction documents in advance. And I was surprised to find in the Japanese material that the in Japan, I'm no expert in Japanese law, but it seems that the in Japan, the audit committee members are encouraged to review these kind of, you know, transaction documents, especially full-time audit committee members. Well, I don't know whether that's a good idea. How to discourage too much action? Well, it would be nice if we can clarify minimum points. And I know that this is the court's role to clarify this point. And so whenever I have an opportunity to talk to judges, I said, well, you know, don't expect too much from us, the audit committee members. You know, if we pay some attention to internal control, then you should let us off the hook. And I'm not sure whether, you know, they'll accept my advice. But if the court is too demanding, then there will be a serious risk of, you know, too much action on the part of the audit committee members. Future of the audit committee in Korea. The power of operation audit has been given primarily because the legislators were not sure of the independence of the board. They could not rely on the board of directors. So they just wanted the audit committee members to do the operation audit as well. You know, so in Korea, the board of directors can supervise the CEO, and at the same time, the audit committee should monitor the performance of the CEO. But as outside directors become more reliable, then there is less justification for the separate operation audit by the audit committee. If the audit committee member, audit committee is deprived of this power to conduct the operation audit, then the audit committee in Korea will be more like the one in the United States. Let me finish my talk with some general remarks. My topic has been very, very technical, but this is somewhat related to the big convergence issue. As my friend Juan Gilson has rather persuasively argued, convergence in form may be more difficult to achieve than convergence in functions. I have realized that this convergence debate has lots of defects after I read Mr. Kuchinyak's article. He was very critical of this whole convergence debate. But I think the Gilson's remark is persuasive. And convergence in form may be more difficult to achieve than convergence in function. So on the standpoint of the audit committee, one may say that this is convergence in form, but not in substance. Many Koreans believe that Korea is hopelessly behind the United States in the area of outside directors and the audit committee. And I tell them, as late as 30 years ago, the situation in the United States is not particularly different from the present situation in Korea. I mean, I don't have much support for this remark, but I guess folks can be a judge. But as far as my understanding, as far as I remember, the outside directors were not as active as now. In the past, I remember reading a book by Miles Mace, The Myth of War or something. And the description, I mean, he had an interview with lots of people. The book was out like in 1970. And he had done lots of interviews with its outside directors. And the description was fascinating. And it resembles the current practice in Korea. So after 30 years, they have changed it. So in 30 years, we may change as well. So from the long-term perspective, convergence may not be as difficult as it first appears. Thank you very much for your attention.